chapter 13, verse number 2.
Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb of the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine.
It is very clear that God expected the firstborn of anything that was born, because it gets stated that once the womb is open among the children of Israel, both of man and beast belong to him. And he expects to get that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. Why is it so important that the firstborn, God wants it? And he doesn't just want, because he doesn't want just anything. He wants to make sure that he gets the very best, and that we give him the very best. The Israelites had responsibility to do just that. The firstborn of all livestock belong to the Lord. Moses instructed the Israelites to set apart to the Lord all that is in the womb. That is every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord. Proverbs 3 and verse number 9. Should we give him the first fruits of what he earned? But we're going to get into this money business in a second. It's very important. We have an understanding about that. And giving the first fruits, the Israelites were reminded of what was truly important. Their relationship to the giver was what truly mattered. And who was the giver they talked about? Right. He's the one that we need to be thinking about pleasing when it comes to the first fruits. And I told you in one lesson that I taught earlier, the first fruits are so important because we have a responsibility to give back to the Lord, not leftovers. They talk about 10%. The Israelites, in many cases, they had to give at least 10%. In many cases. Particularly if you know, and when they had crops, and when they grew crops, they had to leave a percentage, a small portion, for the poor. So everybody just couldn't afford to go out and produce the crops and things that they need. They had to eat, they had to feed the family. That's why God had this thing set up. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say it again. Everything that we earn, all of the money that we earn, does not belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. And we got to understand that we have a responsibility to give back to him what he's supposed to have. And we're going to get into something here in a minute that I think is very important. And I'm going to go down here a little bit to the a better principle. Now, a better principle deals with the covenant of God. Under the law, they had a certain percentage in things that they had to do. But we too have a responsibility to give to the Lord. And He expects us to have some good principle when it comes to giving. Now we're going to look at some things here. I want to move up, move down a little bit. I want to look at, I'm going down the page, I'm going to pull them up for those who have books. I think it's so important that we look at this fellow named Dustin. Dustin was called by the boss and offered him a position as a supervisor. Now, Dustin was an excellent worker. And it was a position of leadership that meant better pay. Everything was better with this new job except Dustin. Dustin was given his secretary to help with his responsibility in keeping him organized. But Dustin refused to do that. He wanted to continue to do the same thing he was always doing. He wasn't supervising, as he should have been, because the job was a better job for him. He didn't use the secretary. He didn't delegate his responsibility to those who were working under him. In other words, he didn't know what his responsibility was. We have to know what our responsibility is when it comes to the Lord. We have a responsibility to know our position and where we stand with the Lord, particularly with when it comes to money and anything else in our life. It's so important. I'm going to go down a little bit further. The book of Hebrews is all about how things are better under the new covenant of Christ than under the old law. Now, I don't know who has the book, but I want somebody to look at right up under the second paragraph, and then I just read the book of Hebrews. I want somebody to read that. Who has the book? Is anybody? Oh, my God. Well, I don't know. Hallelujah. It says, Christ is better than the angels. That's found in chapter 1. I don't give you a chance to read all of that on your own, but I want to just read what is in the letter. Christ has a better message than the Old Testament. That's found in chapter 2. Christ is better than Moses, chapter 3 of Hebrews. Christ offers a better rest, find that in chapter 4. Christ is a better high priest. You certainly know that. He's sitting on the right hand of God. And he is mediating for us. He's our lawyer. He's our accountant. He takes care of whatever problem we may have when we go to him in prayer. He stands for us. He has a better covenant, as I just mentioned, and is a better sacrifice. And I'm going to touch on that just a bit. Remember, under the law, they had to sacrifice bulls and goats. and the names of that nation, in order to please the Lord. Christ came under and brought us a new covenant and a better one because he sacrificed himself for us. God allowed his son to come, his only son, to come down on this earth and teach us and try to show us the right way. Those who lived at that time could understand the importance of Jesus Christ, and we certainly need to understand how important it is that he died for us. Now, I'm going down a little further. The priority principle. Giving to God first is absolutely crucial for developing the proper attitude in giving. But unless you are self-employed, it is virtually impossible to give to God first because taxes and benefits are extracted from your check each month before you are paid. So anybody that has a job and has a job now knows about the taxes. You know, one day the government is smart. They're going to make sure they get their first because many of them don't know how to handle money. And they wouldn't dare let you give to them. Second, they're going to make sure they get their first. Okay. Now, that raises a new question in our study of giving. Should we give based on, this is a good question, should we give based on the gross or the net amount of what we are paying? Okay. It would take about a 10-minute conversation with your boss or human resources representative to find out the bias of the benefits you receive. One of the things I had to learn to do in giving to the Lord. I had money going in the credit union, and I may have had money going somewhere else. Anyway, I had to give a portion of whatever I saved. I made sure that the Lord got his share. We shouldn't be keeping that money for ourselves because it's not ours. We got to make sure that the Lord is taking care of us. He leaves that responsibility to us. Who does he leave that responsibility to? Us. And we need to make sure we give to him first. Give him the first fruit. And Christ talks about that. Yes, he talks about that. We're going to look at some. I'm going to let y'all get some of these. Somebody get for me. Get for me Luke chapter 12, verse number 31. Now, Jesus did a lot of teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And Matthew 6, verse number 33. I want you to get those for me. Luke 12 and 31 first, Matthew 6 and 33. So I'm going to put their finger on Luke 12, 32 and 34. Who has Luke 12 and 31? read that again a little louder. Thank you. So we need to do what? Seek. The Lord said seek. And we need to do that. Seek ye first. That is. And that's not something that's going to fly by night. That's a command. He said, seek ye first. And he is going to reward us when we do what he asks of us. He's not going to ask us to do something that is impossible to do. Matthew 6:33.
So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Thank you. Same thing. That's why I like the Bible, because you got scriptures that's gonna make sure you get. And you wanna have more than one. That's proof. And I'm gonna do a little reading now. I gotta read, but it's important before I get to Luke 12:32-34. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasures, for where your treasures is, there will your heart be also. Luke 12:32-34. Who has that?
Yeah.
Oh, I did think that. I'm going to make sure you really did. You want to make sure that we do exactly as he said. Remember the rich man, the rich young ruler? What lack I yet? I've kept all of these commandments since my youth. What lack I yet, Lord? Sell your possessions, give to the poor, and follow me. But the rich young ruler had so much stuff. And I like to say, that's what Russ like to say. Had so much stuff, he didn't want to give anything. The Bible says he walked away soft. And he did. He walked away. I didn't see with his head hung there. Because he had so much he wasn't willing to give any of it away. You remember the young fellow who, I said young man, but it was a man, who had all of these goods and his bonds. He wanted to tear down the bonds and be a bigger man so that he could put more stuff in his bonds, not worry about giving anything. I can eat, drink, and be merry. I can live a good life. Oh, really? Life?
Do you think that that's like
order? Well, you know, that's a good question. Do you think it's like holding?
Yes. I think it's
on
TV.
Oh, well, people do collect stuff. And many, there are a lot of people that collect stuff and more stuff, and they just don't get rid of the stuff.
You got a point where it comes by harm to people, more so that they help, because you can't use all that stuff and now it's in your leg. So if you don't want to sell your possession to give to God, it becomes a harm to you, because now you can't even find your own salvation. No. The man has come to you, and you're not willing to sell your stuff. You can't use all that stuff.
No.
It's like a super, super rich. You can't spend all that money. You know, you got millions upon millions. You can't spend the interest.
Yeah.
And then to the point where, I mean, it may not harm you, but I think all that stuff can just get in your way and weigh you down and keep you from progressing.
I agree. I agree. Nothing wrong with having money. I don't, I mean, we know that. I like to have a little more myself. I know that where my priorities are, I don't worry about having that. I just want to make sure I got enough to give back to the Lord. Make sure He gets His part. Because it's very important that we understand how important it is to give. As you just said, you can't take it. I've never seen, and I'll say it again, you heard it before, I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse.
There's a song about that.
Oh, yeah. There's
a song about that.
Well, I like to hear it. But I'm sure we have to understand. Huh? No, you can't. You can't take it. It's not a thing. And we need to start worrying about a lot of. So we just spend a lot of time just trying to figure out how we can get around getting something that we want and let something else go. I've done it. And some of y'all look at me mighty strange, like y'all have done. That'll be the truth of it. You know it. I mean, because we always kind of scheme a little bit, kind of figure out how we're going to get this done.
You call that
Robin Peters pay for? Yeah, that's what it is. Robin Peters pay for all. But you know what? If you look at it, you're robbing God. Because, you know, we need to make sure that the Lord is taken care of. And that should be our number one priority. Because we need to be doing what? Laying our treasures where? In heaven. That's exactly what we need to be doing. Laying our treasures in heaven. Well, I'm going to get over a little closer since we can talk about that a little bit. I'm gonna go on over to a warning about giving leftovers. Warning about giving leftovers. If we are to seek His kingdom first, before shelter, food, and clothing, in Luke 12, 22 to 31, Matthew 6, 25 to 33. What better way can we demonstrate that attitude than by how we manage our personal budget? Yet in almost every budget, the number one item is the mortgage or rent. Guess what number two is? Well, food. Okay? It might fall to number three or number four behind your coffee. Clothing might be several numbers down. The several numbers down the list, but only because of the house comfort, such as utilities, things of that nature. Well, we have all of these things that's got to be paid. Can I afford to let anything go other than the responsibilities I have to myself? After all, I only make so much. And I can't give it all the little I got left to the Lord. You notice what I said. I said, but I got left, I didn't give it to the Lord. I'm gonna tell you what I do. But I had been a beautiful last night. Well, I got a lot of stuff that got to be paid. Lord's money is at the top. Well, it is up top. Oh, there you go. Well, I know this money. That's right. Right. Yeah. But, I tell you, I find it to be a joy to give, because I don't want to be robbing the Lord. You go over to Malachi, you're going to find out exactly what he's talking about. You may go over there to Malachi. As a matter of fact, I'm going to turn this thing over. We're going to look at something here. There are several examples in the Bible that warn against the foolishness of giving from our leftovers, but none is quite as so direct as in the book of Malachi, chapters 1 and chapter 3, specifically address the importance of giving. What is so unique about this book is that it is very specific about how God sees our giving and how he feels about it. When addressing the Jews about their sacrifices, and I'm going to tell somebody to read, and I only have to read it, but I'm going to invite to read some of this. If you read this.
A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you. O priests who despise my name, but you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals and sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor.
Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. It talks about the lame animals, blind animals, crippled animals. Many of the Jewish people did that. They wanted to keep the best for themselves. And my wife just read, offer that to your governor and see what happens. Would you do that? Would you do that? I think we need to relook at some things.
Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Said the Lord of hosts. And now entreat the favor of God, that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were among you who would shut the doors, that you may not kindle fire on any altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I would not accept an offering from your hand.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Clearly, the Jews were giving sacrifice.
given every sacrifice, the animals, that is the word called, no use to them. And we need to make sure that whatever we give to the Lord, he'll be pleased with. He won't be angry with us. He'll hold us against it. And I do want to mention this, because it's so important that we understand you can lose your soul by not giving it to children. Are you willing to do that? You don't have a warrant. Are you willing to lose your soul over the finance, over the money? I heard a lady in here say the other day, yeah, I look at you, I thought she was, it was the most dumb thing I ever heard. It's my money. I do what I want with my money. I listened. I said, this woman don't have a clue about anything. None of it belongs to us. It's not about me, or my. No. It's all about the Lord. It's all about me. Now, you're going to get our panel for you. A few questions, I hope I can get some answers on it before it's time to go. Why did God require the first fruits of the harvest? Why is that so important? Let me talk about it. Nobody gave an answer. Why is that so important? Yes. Yeah, that's very true. Very true. Yes, what?
First fruit giving is also, and I think primarily it's about faith and trust in God. I give him the first, believing that he's going to give me more. Yeah. When I don't give him first, then the feeling is I've got to take care of myself first, and then I can give to God whatever I have, leftovers, as you talked about earlier. But giving to God first says, I don't know what's coming after the first, but I know something's going to come, and I'm going to give it to God first, and then he's promised to provide what I need for everything else. And so it's a matter of faith that God is going to provide second and third and fourth and fifth fruits.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. We have to have to put our trust in the Lord. He challenges us all the time. I dare you to test me. That's what he's saying. I dare you to test me. And we'll see where we go from there. Because one thing God can do, he can take a test. Are we really trusting the Lord enough to accept that challenge that he puts before us? I know I am, and a whole lot of you all, as in here, feel the same way. That you're willing to give. And I think it's the greatest thing ever. If everything is better under the new law, how can we use our gift offering and sacrifices to reflect the benefits of living with such great blessing? I'm going to have to read that again, and I'll read it slow. If everything is better under the new law, new covenant, how can we use our gifts, offerings, and sacrifices to reflect the benefits of living with such good blessings. Is it hard? Oh, is it hard? Under the law, we're not required to give 30%. If we can give a little better than 10%, we're doing pretty good. But the Lord said, as you purpose in our heart, we should give that. Yes.
That freedom that we've been given is because of our relationship that we have with God, with Jesus. And through that freedom, that is the only way that you can truly love somebody. Is if you're free to love them and free not to love them. On that freedom, we give our gifts to God in love.
Mm-hmm.
And when we give what we give to God, whoever receives the benefits of that, I believe is tied to that love that we show to our Father in heaven. That love is transmitted to whoever receives benefit from that giving.
Mm-hmm.
They receive that love, that true love, because if we give it out our true love to God, it is transferred to them. Whoever the recipient is of that benefit, they receive that love. I've been a recipient of that love in this church family. We've had people that give us food boxes. Me and Brian were here one day when someone came for a food box. And we were able to give that love.
Yeah. That's the one.
It's out of freedom.
Yeah.
It's only way that true love comes out of freedom.
Yeah. We're blessed to live in this country in spite of all the things that go on all around us. We're still blessed to be a part of these United States and being able to work, make good money, take care of your family. It's a wonderful thing. But we must be able, and I say this with all sincerity, we must be able to love the Lord more than we do ourselves. Because if you think about it, God is better to us than we are to ourselves. And we need to treat him with the respect that he deserves. You heard the thing that the time when a person put their hand in the jar to get the penny or the money. But he had a hard time getting his fist out. Well, you're not going to get your fist out until you open your hand. Or you can risk breaking the jar or turn it upside down. Maybe that'll help. I don't care how it works. God has given us a mind and a responsibility to love, as the brother just mentioned. And we must be willing to give back to him. I think we are almost, oh, we got another minute. We're gonna get to that. We talked about the gross amount, the net amount, all of the stuff about giving. How do our spending habits reveal our true priorities? And how does God feel about receiving our leftovers? How do our spending habits reveal our true priorities? And how does God feel about receiving our leftovers? The second question is very easy. Very easy to answer, if we're truthful. Comment.
Yeah.
You know, you could about look at everybody's lives and see what they enjoy doing, because that's where they spend their money. You go into a house, the house decorators, you go, if they like nice cars, if they like it, they're going to put their money in with the things that they love. And that's this whole, we talk about this perfect law. This perfect law, the Old Testament, they followed commands. And so they were commanded to give so much, so they did that because that's what they were commanded to do. The perfectness of the new law is strictly out of love. If we love God, it's not going to be hard to give. We love God, it's not going to be hard to follow His command. We love God, it's not going to be hard to love one another. Because that's whole, it's all about that relationship with God. And so, you can tell what we like and what we do by the way we spend our money.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you touched on it. And I'm not against fine automobiles and fine things. And I'm not against that. And you can afford it, but not at the expense of God Almighty, who blesses us to have everything we have. And our health, where you can go out and work. That means so much. Yeah. You're not stretched out on a bed. Somebody got to feed you and stretch you. Feel very, very blessed. Well, I'm pretty much through with this particular lesson. I hope you got something out of it, and I thank you for your attendance. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.